And at one time when I was a little kid, that was a thriving town. These were, had about 22,000 people at one time where the mine was going. And anyway, I was over there, and I got canceled in another revival, so I asked Brother Scott if I could come by and preach today. And he said, that'd be fine. So thank you very much, Brother Scott, for letting me come by and minister today. And then you're fixing to have Brother Leon Bassler, is that correct? I preached for him when he was a pastor. And his mother-in-law gave me a word, Sister Daisy, in Tyler, Texas. They're from Tyler. Many years ago, I was in a revival at Calvary Assembly of God in Tyler, where Mark Lewis pastors, and you know Mark Lewis. It's kind of funny how all this works out. He had come from Texas to Marionville, then back to Texas. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're fixing to go through a trial. And I said, I just rebuked that. Because I don't want to go through a trial. And Leon Baxter's mother-in-law came up to me, Sister Daisy, and said, the Lord just spoke to me. You're fixing to go through a trial. But you're going to come out of it. I said, well, okay, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And starting the next day, it hit. And but the Lord brought me out about 3.5 months. Well, one thing you learn in your trials, you have to persevere. And that's really where we grow. You know what makes trees strong? The wind. If you plant a tree in your yard, you have to stake it up because the root doesn't go down very far. But when it grows naturally in the woods, you don't have woods here, but in the desert, the reason why you have to stake it up is because this is a sapling, the root is going down. And that's when your roots go down, you won't backslide. You don't give up because you're anchored. How many believe that we need to be anchored in Jesus Christ? Praise God. Take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Joel chapter 2 this morning. I was talking to Brother Scott last night. And I believe in Pentecost. Not just as a doctrine, but as an experience. You and I are able to experience the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life. We in the Assemblies of God believe that God exists in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We do not believe in three gods, one God. The UPC is three manifestations, three personalities. However we want to define that, we believe it's for us today. And how many of you today are hungry for a move of God in your life? I'm very hungry for a move of God, and he said if you'll be hungry, he'll fill you. So let's pray. Brother Scott, would you ask God's blessing upon this message, if you don't mind?
Lord Jesus, we need you.
Yes.
We need the power of your Spirit, not just displayed in somebody else's life, but in our own lives. We need your display of the manifest presence of God. Move upon this congregation as they listen, as they receive. May this word that goes forth bring forth fruit. Lord God, break down every barrier that we have set up in our minds of fear and doubt. May it leave in the name of Jesus, and may we be receptive to what you have for us. Anoint the mouth that will speak these words.
Yes, Lord.
May it be as powerful as a two-edged sword that would separate even bone from marrow and soul from spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
And everybody said amen today. Chapter 2, beginning of verse 21, the scripture says this. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pasture of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. How many of you today are the children of Zion? And rejoice. Everybody say rejoice. Say that again. In the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore. Everybody say restore. To you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of the land, that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be what? Ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out of my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And everyone said, amen. How many of you this morning believe that you and I are living at the close of time? What I mean by that, I mean before the rapture of the church. I am what we call a pre-tribulation preacher. Brother Jamie, I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the false prophet or the mark of the beast, because I don't intend to be here when that happens. I'm going to be raptured out of here before all of that is revealed. And how many of you are looking for the coming of the Lord? If you are, say amen today. Let me say that again. Are you looking for His coming? Now, before His coming, there are many, many indicators, signs. One of the greatest signs is the birth of the nation of Israel, which happened in 1948. For over 2,000 years, they were not their own nation. But God sovereignly said that a nation would be born in a day. And that nation was born in 1948. And Jesus said, when you see this come to pass, know that your redemption draweth nigh, and this generation shall not pass away until all things be fulfilled. And I believe that the rapture could happen at any moment. I think in the Word of God it says that Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling. That's why everything is focused right now on the Middle East. We're not mentioned, the United States is not mentioned, as I know of, in the Bible. But Israel is, the Middle East is. So keep your eyes on what's going on over there. And there will be no peace in the Middle East, in Jerusalem, until Jesus sets up His 1,000-year millennial reign on the planet. Please understand this. Donald Trump will not bring peace. The Republicans will not bring peace. The Democrats will not bring peace. The only one that will bring peace is Jesus Christ. And you know why there's no peace over there? Because they do not have peace with God. And if they do not have peace with God, you cannot have peace with yourself. And if you do not have peace with yourself, you cannot be at peace with one another. That's why you have fights. I'm thinking in Spanish now for some reason. That is why you have fights in families, in society, because people are not at peace with God. But how many of you believe that Jesus Christ today is the Prince of Peace? If you believe it, shout amen. Paul also said in Thessalonians that in the last days perilous times would come. Men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we could go on and on about the negativity. But I want to deal with the positive side of the end times, of the coming of the Lord. And that is what He is going to pour out of His Spirit. And that's the group I'm a part of. I'm not a part of the falling away. I'm not a part of the apostate church. I'm not a part of the compromising church. I'm not a part of that wishy-washy church or the lukewarm church. I want to be a part of the church that's on fire. How many of you desire to be a part of the church that's on fire? In fact, how many of you today desire to be on fire right now? If you do, say praise God. I was just in revival over here in Bisbee, Arizona. At First Assembly of God. It's interesting. That was the first Assembly of God church in the state of Arizona. Not Phoenix. Not Tucson. Not Flagstaff. But Bisbee. Because a man by the name of Brother Iding had received the Holy Ghost in San Antonio. The outpouring. In about 1909. With him and J.O. Savelle at a Pentecostal mission in San Antonio, Texas. Brother Savelle went south and Brother Iding went west. And he landed right there in Bisbee and put up a tent and began a revival. How many of you know if you have the Holy Ghost, there's nothing that God cannot do through you? I'll say that one more time. I don't think they had any strategies. They didn't have any. There wasn't even an assembly or an organization, I think. Brother Jamie, the Church of God had already organized, but nobody heard about them out here yet. But you see, the Holy Ghost uses people. Let me say that one more time. The Holy Spirit uses people. We say, God, move by your Spirit, and the Lord says, give me a vessel. Sister Mangum, Vesta Mangum, you know who she is? She just turned 100 years old. She preached a message one time in Alexandria that says, I am a revival vessel. And she's still preaching at 100. How many of you tonight or this morning desire to be a revival vessel? So Brother Iding put up a tent. He started a revival. His brother came in, John Iding. He had not yet received the Holy Ghost. But in 1913, his brother John Iding went to California to the big camp meeting. You've heard of it in Arroyo Seco. California with Maria Wentworth Etter. The tent would seat 5,000 people. And the camp meeting went over 1 month. Thousands came. And John Iding and his wife were baptized of the Holy Ghost. And they came back to Arizona and took the church in Bisbee. And then his brother, Brother Iding, went to Dallas. And Brother Iding, John Iding, started this work. Then the Church of God came in. Brother Iding went to Douglas, Arizona. He went to Gila Bend, Arizona. He went to Phoenix, Arizona. He went to Tucson, Arizona, and began to open up these churches. Let me tell you something, folks. The Spirit of the Lord can do what man cannot do. If you're putting your trust in the flesh, si estamos confiando en la carne, vamos a fallar. If we're trusting in the flesh, we will fail. But if we're trusting in the Lord, we will never fail. Because He cannot fail. Let me say that one more time. He cannot fail. My confidence, young people, is not in myself. My confidence is not in what I can do. My confidence is not in who I know. My confidence is whom I know, and that's Jesus Christ. How many of you know the Lord today? If you do, lift up your hand and wave it and shout amen today. The nation of Israel, in this chapter or in this little book called A Minor Prophet of Joel, is in a disaster. And you know what brings disaster? Sin. Say that one more time. Sin. And God has to deal with sin. And God doesn't send judgment to get back at people. God uses judgment to get people back to Him. The Bible says the Lord chastens whom He loves. How many of you know He loves some of us a whole lot? And He's brought an army in here. It depends on different scholars. You know, some say this was a literal army of locusts. Others, it's figurative of a natural army. It doesn't really matter. But the land was destroyed. How many of you believe that America needs a revival today? And so the Lord allowed this army to come in. It ate everything up. And it looked like it was over for the nation of Israel. But then the Lord raises up a prophet by the name of Joel. Let me just say something. As long as there is a prophet, and I'm not talking about some false prophet, the real one. As long as there's a prophet or the church, there's still hope. Let me say that again. As long as there's a preacher, a pastor, a church, there's still hope for the nation. How many of you believe there's still hope for the nation today? I look at the sin around us. I'm appalled. I guess I am getting older. As Brother Jamie has said, how are you doing? He says, I'm getting older. But with age, it's not just aches and pains. It's reality. We're not the same country was when I was a boy. And it was changing very fast. But what we're tolerating as a country, it boggles my imagination. How anybody can sanction the culture of people. And you look at it naturally, you say, well, there's no hope. Communism and socialism is encroaching in the nation. All types of isms are coming in. Buddhism, Muslim, it's all coming in. And you wonder, is there any hope? And there is hope. The hope is a Holy Ghost revival. You didn't hear me? Because it's a move of the Spirit. That's the hope. How many believe that Jesus is the hope of glory that dwells within you? It's not what we can do. It's not how well we can preach. And that's important. It's the move of the Spirit. We need a move of God in order to bring in the harvest. Because without that, all it is religion. I'm not interested in religion. America has religion. What we need is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the day that we live in. Can anybody lift up your voice and say amen today? So this nation had been destroyed. But then it says in verse 21, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But of power. And of love. And of what? I was preaching there at New Hope there in Denver, Oscar, for Ray Chavez. We did a two-week revival about a month and a half ago. And the Lord spoke to me one night. I want to deliver people that have mental illness. Bipolar, schizophrenia, depression. And when I made that altar call, of course, it's a whole different culture than this church. The whole altar filled up. Because we have people in our churches that have mental illness. Fear. Bipolar. You got real quiet. And it filled up from the one end to the other. People came up and say, my son, pray for him. He's got bipolar schizophrenia, both. And they're sitting in churches. And they're suffering. People are in fear. People have doubts. But when the Lord begins to move, He says, don't fear. How many of you know you have nothing to fear if you're in Jesus Christ? He said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. For the Lord will do great things. Everybody say, the Lord will do great things. Let me say that again. The Lord, not us. The Lord will do great things. Say that with me. The Lord will do. Say it again. The Lord will. Do you believe He'll do great things for you? Do you believe He'll do great things here? He goes on to say this. Verse 22, notice what it says again. Be not afraid. Ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness, do spring forth, for the tree her fruit, and fig tree and the vine do yield their strength? Be glad. Now, he's telling them to be glad before anything happens. Rejoice before anything happens. Some people have the concept, I only rejoice to clap my hands and lift my hands when I feel something. You do it before you feel anything. We do it before anything is happening. You do it before you're completely healed. We do it before we're completely delivered. It's like they sang a song a moment ago. What is that song you did at the offering? Greater than all my mountains, greater than all my fears. Bigger, bigger. You said, well, I still have a mountain. You still sing it. You still worship God. You pray when there's still the answer has not yet come. You believe God. That's your growth in Jesus Christ. We preach revival before there's ever a revival. You believe for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost before it ever happens. And you rejoice and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. I rejoice in you. And people look at you, they say, why are you doing that? Your circumstances have not yet changed. I'm not doing it because of my circumstances. I'm doing it because I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to allow the world to determine what I do. I'm going to glorify the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord. And if a person doesn't like it, they go sit somewhere else in church. Hallelujah. But praise the name of the Lord. How many of you know that He is worthy to be praised right now? Verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain. I thank God for what he's done in the past. I thank God for the former rain. I thank God for Brother Iding that came to Bisbee in 1912. Anybody here remember 1912? Anybody feel like you do sometimes? I got kind of him. It's not a trick. 1912. The first Holy Ghost preacher in the state. You ought to get that. It wasn't this. But God had to use somebody. God had to have a prophet like Joel. I'll say that one more time. God has to have somebody, brother. Well, there's nobody to say amen. Nobody giving the offering. They persecute you. These are a tongue talker. And they still do. People still preach against us. A famous minister over in California, he had a whole conference against Pentecostals. He said, I'm going to attack it. But he's dead in his grave. I guess he went to heaven. I don't know. I'm not his judge. I do kind of believe he blasphemed the Holy Ghost, but man is not going to stop what God has already decided. I'll say that again. Man cannot stop. Demons cannot stop. Devils cannot stop. Communists cannot stop. Socialists cannot stop. Islam, Buddhism, nobody's going to stop what God has already decided. Did you know that in 4 more years, this came on the 700 Club, in 4 more years in the nation of Brazil, listen to this, they expect to have more Pentecostals than Roman Catholics. That's how far fast it's growing. And you know why? It started with one man, actually two young men, that went from Chicago, from the Great Stone Church, in about 1908, 1909, went down to Brazil, had no idea where to go. They did not speak the language. They did not know the culture. They didn't even know where to go. They just took an ocean liner down there, and they prayed. They said, Holy Spirit, where do you want us to go? And he said, go to the city of Belen, which is Bethlehem in Spanish. and they went down there and they opened up a work. That work today still baptizes about 12 to 1,500 people in water every 3 months. Oh, you didn't hear that? Hallelujah. I'm not serving some weak God. I just felt that in my spirit. I'm not serving some little God that I put on the dashboard of my car. He said, rejoice. Praise Him. Glorify Him. It just said that would be glorify Him. Beginning of verse 24. Excuse me, let me read that again in verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately and will cause to come down for you the rain and the former rain in the last month and the latter rain in the first month. He said, I'm going to combine the former rain, which is in the spring, and the latter rain in the fall to bring in the harvest all together. How many of you know where rain is, there is life? This desert out here, it gets real brown until the monsoons. And when the monsoon comes in, the grass starts growing. The creeks run. And that's how it is when it comes to the dryness of our life. We become dry in our spirit. We become dry in our walk. In fact, the first part of that chapter talks about repentance. Before the revival comes, repentance first must happen. Got real quiet on that one. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We don't get near evil. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. If it looks evil, stay away from it. You don't have to ask God, is this wrong? If you have to ask, probably is. And when He calls you out of something, He calls you into something. When I'm no longer messing with the world, I have more time to pray. I have more time to read the Word. I have more time to fast. I have more time to consecrate myself to God. I desire Him now. I desire His presence now. And God has to have someone that He can use. That can lead the charge. That can lead the way. Because the Lord says, I'm going to send the rain. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be marvelous. I love the old scripture. It will be marvelous in thine eyes. What God does. And just say, well, how can this be? I don't know how it can be. The only thing I know is He'll do what He said. How many of you believe that God keeps His promise? Do you ever still sing that old song? Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Then it goes on to say this in verse 24. And the floors shall be full of wheat. And the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. I will restore the fruit. I will restore the fields. I will restore the oil. I will restore the wheat. I will restore the years that Satan has taken from you, that have become lean. I feel the anointing right now. I'm a restorer. Maybe some of you are out here, you say, my goodness, I've wasted my life. I've done all kinds of things I should not have done. I've got myself into a mess. But if we'll come back to God, the Lord will restore what you lost. He'll restore it back to you. He can restore ministries. He can restore pastors. He can restore evangelists. He can restore missionaries. He can restore your business. He can restore your family. He can restore your mind. He can restore your body. He can restore your finances. He can restore your joy. He can restore your peace. He can restore the blessing of the Lord upon you. He can begin to do what man cannot do. When the enemy tried to take it away from you, the Lord will rebuke that enemy for you. And He'll begin to bless you again. And you'll have a spring in your step. You maybe said, I've lost my joy. I no longer have anything to live for in my life. But when the rain begins to fall, I said, when the rain begins to fall, when the rain begins to fall, I'll say that one more time, when the rain begins to fall, all of a sudden life begins to grow. The flowers bloom again. The grass is green again. Out of the fig tree, it gives us fruit again. The apple tree, the peach tree, the orange tree, the lemon tree. Does anybody believe that God will restore you all the years that the enemy has tried to take from you? God, He can give it back. If you believe, give the Lord a clap offering tonight. Do you believe you'll do it? You'll say, well, how? You don't understand, Chris, how far I've gone. What's happened in my life? Listen, God will restore you. It's not by might. It's not by power. It is by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He goes on to say this. Are you bored in here? Those of us says this. Verse 26. And ye shall eat in plenty. There'll be so much blessing. When the Spirit comes, you'll be satisfied. How many of you know that only the Lord can satisfy the longing of your soul? Sin can't. Drinking can't. Pot can't. The New Age movement can't. Pornography can't. Ungodly movies can't. But Jesus can. I'm learning something, and when I see people that are always, always down, I've been doing this now for 46 years, full time, and they're like this for a long time. My question now is, well, what are you into? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Now, I get we all go through dry spells. I'm talking about that for a moment. But when you see people that are like this for decades, and the Holy Ghost is moving and they don't feel anything, they never come to prayer meeting, they're not interested, you've got to give them a Twinkie and a coffee to get to come back to church, or a ding dong or whatever. And they're always like this. I wonder, well, what's going on? God can remove all of that . Have you ever met a person, I'm just going to stop you for a minute, that enjoys their depression? They enjoy being defeated? Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ never was defeated. Jesus Christ said, no man taketh my life. And if I lay it down, I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I will pick it up. Herod never had authority over Jesus. Pilate never had authority over Jesus. The Romans never did. The Jews never did. He freely laid his life down. And there is something, I feel this in my spirit now, when Satan has no authority over you. Oh, glory. I'll say that again. If you're a believer in Jesus, covered by His blood, washed in His blood, Satan has no authority over you. I'll say that again. Satan has no authority over you. He has no authority over your mind. his or authority over any part of you? No, Jesus. You help me to heaven. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. I heard one faith minister, I won't mention his name here, he said when Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell and suffered for 3 days as an emaciated sinner. No, let me. Jesus won the battle at the cross. He did not go to hell and suffer in hell. He did not have to be reborn. Hallelujah. He's the Son of Almighty God. He's all powerful. How many of you believe that Jesus is all powerful today? He goes on to say this. And be, you know, plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. He used to sing a song, Brother Jamie. I'm sure he's saying the Church of God. I'm not ashamed to speak for Jesus. Anybody heard that song? I'm not ashamed to praise his name. I'm not ashamed to own that blessing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed. Anybody ever heard that song? Sing that with me. I'm not ashamed to speak for Jesus. I'm not ashamed to praise his name. I'm not ashamed to own that blessing. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to be Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed to be saved. I'm not ashamed to believe in holiness. I'm not ashamed to pray. It's not because of me. I just found something so glorious in this. I'll say that again. I found, sir, that serving God is wonderful. Serving God is amazing. Serving God is my life. Serving God is my breath. He is my sustenance. He is my manna. He is the Alpha and he is the Omega. And he's the beginning and he's the ending. I love your song services here. You know why? Because I can sing the songs. I go to some churches now where it sounds like a mantra. It's so depressing. It's just like, oh my Lord, we're all falling asleep. Let me tell you something, brother. Serving God is joyful. Serving God is wonderful. Serving God is, my Lord, I feel that in my spirit. How many of you today love God more than this entire world? My people shall never be ashamed, and he shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, that have done you, that I am your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Now give me a few more minutes and we're going to finish this message, but this one I want to talk about the Pentecostal outpouring. Not only does it bring life, it says it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out of my spirit. We believe in the supernatural. Now, I know when you read commentaries on prophesying here, they always like to go back to preaching, which I believe that is what it's dealing with also. That only young men can preach, but also young ladies. Because the Spirit comes upon men and women. That's controversial. For some, not for me. But for some. But it also believes in a prophetic utterance. That the Holy Ghost can come upon an individual. Like we had a message in tongues this morning and an interpretation. That's this in fulfillment. When the Lord speaks to you, it has to be tested with the Bible. Don't get me wrong. We don't elevate prophecy above Scripture. But when it's scriptural, we receive it. Remember the story when the Lord spoke to Moses and he couldn't govern Israel effectively by himself? So the Lord says, get out 70 men, elders, and the spirit that's upon you, Moses, I'll pour it upon 70 elders. And they went to the tabernacle. And the Spirit of the Lord that was upon Moses came upon these men. And they began to prophesy. We don't know what they were saying. But the Holy Ghost was speaking through them. There's nothing any more incredible. I was in Houston, Texas, several months ago with Vanja Gonzalez. She's a pastor of the Spanish Assemblies of God. Preaching down there and on a Sunday morning. The little church was packed out. A young man, about where you're sitting right here, was weeping when I'm preaching on the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I knew he was ready. And I brought him to the front. I said, young man, you want to be baptized in the Spirit? He said, yes. I said, just repeat this prayer. He was a new believer, knew nothing about the Bible, but he was hungry. And Juanita, something happened amazing. When he began to say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost, he began to speak in tongues. But he began to speak in Hebrew. And I don't speak Hebrew, but I know a few words. And the Holy Ghost, he did not know these words. He did not know them. But the Spirit knew them. He was speaking through him, saying, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. The word Elohim means God. Adonai is the word for Lord. The Lord, He is God. That's what the Holy Ghost is speaking through him. Can anybody say praise the Lord? When a person speaks in tongues, it doesn't come from your mind. It comes of the Spirit this way. It's a river that begins to flow out of you. It is so amazing when you are filled, the overflowing with the Holy Ghost, as this young man. I did not stop him from speaking in tongues because I did not want to interrupt what the Holy Spirit was doing in him. He would go, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai. And they would go back into other words in Hebrew that I did not know. I've heard Hebrew, but I do not speak the language. And then it would go back into Elohim Adonai. I was in Chihuahua, Mexico many years ago, preaching revival for the Spanish, as well as all Spanish down there in Mexico. And a young lady in the altar was speaking in tongues. And all of a sudden, she began to speak in English without an accent. And I went over to her and I tapped her on the shoulder. And I said, Hermana, tu hablas inglés? Do you speak English? She says, no, Hermana, no hablo inglés. I don't speak English. I said, well, just keep speaking in tongues. So she kept speaking in tongues. And then she went back into English in tongues. And I began to interpret the message to the church, what the Holy Spirit was speaking to her through her. Because the Holy Ghost speaks every language. The Holy Ghost speaks languages of the past and present and in heaven. He let me say that again. He speaks every language. And when you begin to pray in the Spirit, are you, in fact, do you know, Brother Herbert, do you know Gary Weick at all? Have you ever met Gary Weick? He's from Bisbee originally. He lives in Tucson now. He's a minister with this district. I asked him, I said, how did you all come into Pentecost? His grandmother and grandfather had immigrated from Europe. I'll just say Germany. And they ended up in Bisbee, when those churches were just beginning. And his grandparents, it may have been his great-grandparents, went to the Pentecostal church in Douglas, Arizona, when it was an adobe building. And there's a message in tongues. And the tongue that was given was the same language that his great-grandmother knew. And then it was interpreted verbatim. So after the service, Gary's grandmother went over, this back in 1919, some way back there, went over to this lady and said, I just say the word, the language was German. I have no idea what it was. I said, where did you learn German? She said, I don't speak German. She said, no, you were speaking my language, the purest German of my nation, of my country. And then she went over to the man that interpreted. Where did you learn German? He said, ma'am, I don't speak German. Yes, you do, because you interpreted what that lady said. There is something, I'm almost done here, when you and I participate with the will of God. When you and I can draw so... Tim, would you come and just play something on the... Is he still here? There he is in the back. Just play something real softly. When you begin to participate with God. He said, not only would they prophesy, the young men would see visions. And the old men would dream dreams. And don't get me wrong. God can impress you to open up a daycare center and say that's a vision. And a rest, whatever. But that's not what he's referring to here. He's referring to an open vision. Where your spirit man literally sees into the spirit realm. When I grew up in church, that was pretty commonplace. First Assembly of God in Tucson, where my grandmother went, in 1965, they had a revival that broke out for 6 months. In that revival, it broke out with the teenagers. Now, I was like 6 years old, so I don't even remember it. How old are you, son? It broke out in your generation, your age group. When this revival broke out, Brother Gilmore was the pastor. You remember Brother Gilmore? He was the pastor for First Assembly in 1965 when this revival broke out. They had been praying for 3 years for revival. Brother Gilmore, here in Arizona, was from Georgia. He's the one that did the wedding ceremony for the evangelist Jack Coe. Gordon Lindsay used to preach at First Assembly. Jack Coe, William Branham, all the men of the Voice of Healing era. See, when you really know the Holy Ghost, nothing will take its place. Young man, nothing. Nothing. And so, Sunday morning after church, some of the young people stayed around the altars Sunday morning, and the Holy Spirit fell. Brother and Sister Gilmore, the pastors were at First Cafeteria, and they got a call. Brother Gilmore, come back down to the church. Revival broke out without an evangelist. They eventually brought in, remember Thelma Argue? They eventually brought her in. In that revival, Snow Peabody, who's over the Arizona Teen Challenge, was saved and filled the Holy Ghost in that revival. Jim Woolsey, who became a missionary to Peru and became Timmy Swagger's right-hand man for many years in that revival. And those teenagers were seeing David Stoll in that revival, who became a pastor down in Green Valley. They would see visions of hell and heaven. Because we're Pentecostal. I love our doctrine. I love our programs. But without the move of the Spirit, it's a piece of paper. I've seen the Holy Ghost move on young people, especially children. The Holy Ghost falls on them. They're in the altar till 12 o'clock in the morning. The parents have to pick them up. They're speaking in tongues. Put them in the back of the car, speaking in tongues all night long. When I was in Bible school in Waxahachie, Texas, Bobby Johnson did us a revival. I've shared this in this church before. He was the decap of the Arkansas district. About 1977, 78, he and his wife came up on the platform with an accordion and began to sing the old song, "I'm getting ready to leave this world." The Holy Ghost fell at 10:30 in the morning till 11:30. This is in chapel. About 900 students. 12:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30 in the afternoon, 4:30. 5:30, 6:30, 7:00. We had church again. It just kept going. We never left till 2:30 in the morning the next day. It never stopped. What would happen, Brother Scott, if the Holy Ghost fell in this church on a Sunday morning? And no one left. And 6 o'clock started, and everybody got on their phones and text somebody, "You got to get down here to North Valley Assembly. The Holy Ghost has fallen. The rain is falling. The young people are prophesying. The young men are seeing visions. The older men are having dreams. Demons are coming out. The lame are walking. The deaf are seeing. The deaf are hearing. The blind are seeing." People are being called to preach. God is moving. Marriages are being restored. Families are being restored. Drug addicts are being delivered. Alcoholics are being set free. I'm saying, Lord, I want to see one more revival like that. How old are you, son? I want to see young men like you. I was already doing this with 23. In fact, I was going to be a pastor in one more year. I want to see young men that tells their pastor, "I'm on fire. I've got to go preach, Brother Thurber. I've got to go find a place to preach. And the only thing that's available is a chicken coop." And what's your first name? Justin. And Justin says, "I don't care if it's a chicken coop or a mesquite tree. I have something that I've got to give. Porque, hermano, hay pasión. El Espíritu Santo me da el fuego celestial." The Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus. Brother Scott, he wants to do it. As I'm closing, we're going to come around the altar for a minute and pray for just for a minute. I want you to come back tonight. But listen to me. You know Hector Aguirre down in Tucson. Hector. God is opening up doors for that young minister. The Assemblies of God of Mexico are using Jimenez preached an Assemblies of God convention in Sonora. Over 2,000 ministers. God is looking for people. Young man, God is looking for people. Sir, God is looking for people. Oscar, God is looking for people that He can use. I want to be a people that He can use. Lift your hands with me right now. You've been very, very kind. Lord, I praise Your name. Would you stand on your feet this morning if you don't mind? I want everybody to come and just stand here in the front. Unless you can't stand, come and just stand right here. I understand some people can't. If you cannot stand, just sit right here with Sister Cecilia Costa right now. Hallelujah. Sister, when did you all come into Pentecost? Born in it. Was that here in Arizona? Where was that at? Mississippi. Did you see services like that when you grew up? All the time. And you're still in church. Do you want to see that again? Do you want, sister? She received the Holy Ghost when she's 5 years old. You spoke in tongues. In your dad's arms, mom and dad's arms. Is that available for these young people? It's available to you, son. It's available to you, young lady. It's available to you, Justin. It's available to you, and 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 to you. And to you, and to you, and to me, and to the pastor. It's available to this church. The Holy Ghost is for you if you want Him. We talk about, we're going to pray, but listen. The Lord is pouring out of His Spirit of the world. Don't think just because we don't see that here in America. Oh, He's moving all over the world. Millions are coming in every single year. Millions, sir, are coming in. Lift your hands right now. Lord, I praise Your name. Begin, if you lift both hands. If you praise Him in English or Spanish or tongues. But open up your mouth. Begin to praise Him right now. Lord, I praise Your name. Lord, I glorify Your name tonight. You said in the last days You were poured of Your Spirit. In spite of all the unrest. In spite of all the iniquity. In spite of all the sin. In spite of all the degradation. You, Lord, said that You would send revival. You, Lord, said, I didn't say it. Brother Scott Thurber did not say it. You said it. The Assemblies of God did not say it. You said it. Lord, dear God, I believe Your word. God, I don't know how it can happen. I have no idea. But I know one thing, Lord. You said if we would call unto You, You would answer us and show us great and mighty things which we do not know of. And I praise Your name. Lift up your voice right now. I glorify Your name. I magnify the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I offer myself to You. Sanctify me completely. Sanctify me, Holy Spirit. Sanctify my heart. Sanctify my mind. Sanctify me, O Jesus. Make me useful for Thy use, O God. Let me not miss out on what You have for my life. O Rishata Lamaharisikaya. Yaramaroku Ramarisitikataya. Let me not miss out, God, on what You have for me, O Jesus. O Ramarishata Lamahaya. Kuramarisitikata Lamahaya. Rishiti kuramarashata lamahaya. Offer yourself to Him right now. Say, Lord, aquí estoy, úsame. Here I am, O God. Heme aquí. Here I am, O Lord. Here I am. Lord, dear God, for our young people. God, to give them an experience. Lord, dear God, in their life, to use them, O Jesus. O Rishata Lamahaya. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Savior, I praise Your name. I glorify Your name. Move with this young lady, O God. The Holy Ghost on you right now, young lady. Use her, O Jesus. Just lay your hands on her right now. Pray for her, honey, right now. That's it. Just pray for her right now. There you go. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, your God, raise up these senior citizens. One more time. One more time, O God. One more time. Oh, Ramarashata, for this young man, oh God. Jesus. Jesus, one more time. Do it, oh God. Do it, oh God. Do it, oh God. Do it, oh God. Do it, oh God.
You do miracles.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Sharamarishit, for this young lady, oh God, move in her life, her family, her children. Lord, your God, her family, oh Lord, her husband, Lord. For these ladies, God, move, O Holy Ghost. Move, O God. We offer ourselves to You. We offer ourselves to You, O Jesus. We give ourselves to You. O Ramarashata, Lamarisi Kataya. We give ourselves. We give ourselves to You, O God.
For You
are great. Just give yourself everything. These young ladies, God. These young ladies, O Jesus. Oh, for this family, O God. We give ourselves to You, O God. We give ourselves to You. Oh, Ramarishata, Lamarishidikataya. For Oscar, Lord, that's visiting. Oscar, give your life to Jesus. Give your life to Him.
Like You.
Give your life to Him. Give your life to Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He loves you tonight, this morning. He loves you. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
This is the
glory. Oh, Rabarishatala. God, move into their lives. We give everything to You, God. We give everything to You. We give everything, Jesus, to You, Lord. We give everything, O God, to You. For this couple right here, God, move in their lives. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
And the honor.
Hallelujah. God, visit the dead, God, to completely heal her. In Jesus' name.
As we praise Your holy name,
let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you.
So great.
Sharamaroku
Ramarasatai. No one else like You.
Let the Holy Spirit's attitudes, fears. If you have animosity towards anybody, hatred, arrogance, rancor.
Hallelujah.
Lay it here. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse you. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you of everything this morning. Say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my heart, Lord Jesus, Hallelujah. By Your blood. Cleanse me, O Jesus. Take it away, O Lord. Take it away, O God. I don't want anything between You and I, Jesus. Oh, Ramarisha Talamahai. He's speaking to some of us right now. The Bible says to lay aside every sin and weight that besets us. The word besetting means to latch upon, like a leech. say, Lord, cleanse me. Wash me, Jesus. Let there be nothing between my soul and the Savior, like the old song. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Just look this way for a minute. Just keep playing to Him. See, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. We cry for revival, and the Lord says, I need to remove some stuff out of your life first. See, when Brother Scott and I were raised in church, holiness was defined. We never had to wonder what it was, whether we liked it or not. We just knew, but they'd agree. You know. But now it's become blurred, Oscar. Sin is no longer sin. Ungodliness is no longer ungodliness. It's just kind of the way you look at it. But when there's nothing between my soul and Jesus, that's an old holiness Methodist song. When we can say, truly, I'm right with God. And there's nothing between me and Jesus. I think it'd be good just to repent today, don't you? Tim, there's an old doctrine called restitution. Have you heard of that old doctrine? You ever heard the old doctrine of restitution? Restitution is if I stole from somebody, I give it back to them because I'm now saved. Plus. I stop gossiping. I stop backbiting. I stop it all. I stop slander. I don't defile my neighbor's wife. I do not covet. Because I'm saved. I'm washed. Let's lift our hands one more time. I think it'd be good. Lord, just leading me into this. Say, Jesus. Say that. Everybody say this. Jesus, search me. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Try my reins, O God, the intents of my heart. Jesus, He's speaking to some of us right now. Jesus, cleanse me by your blood. Wash me, O Jesus. Sanctify me completely, O God. I'm keeping my eyes closed, but the Lord's speaking to me. Some of you have bitterness. You're upset at this person, and then it grows. It grows and grows and grows. It becomes a mountain. And your heart becomes hardened to where you no longer sense that the sweet Holy Ghost. You got to let the bitterness go, folks. You got to forgive those that have offended you. Let it go. Let animosity go. Let anger go. Let hurt go. I'm keeping my head down on purpose because I don't want you to think I know. I have no idea who this is for. I'm not looking around. Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. You see, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power.